Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. I'm very pleased to have with me today in the studio on University Matters, Mr. Robert Subban. Just a few words about my guest. Mr. Subban is an assistant lecturer within the Department of Banking and Finance of the University of Malta. He graduated with a Master of Advanced European Studies from the College of Europe at Bruges and is currently reading for a PhD in Finance at the Manchester Business School at the University of Manchester. Prior to joining the University of Malta, he worked for 3 years as Manager EU Affairs at the Employment and Training Corporation, which we know as the ETC, and Malta's Public Employment Service. There, he was responsible for the work permit section of the ETC and represented the ETC and the Maltese government on various local and EU committees related to legal employment of foreigners. He was a member of the Technical and Advisory EU Committee on the Free Movement of Workers and a regular participant of the Social Questions Working Party of the EU Council. He co-authored a number of studies related to migration within Malta's context, and these publications are Malta's National Report for the 2010 European Migration Network Study on Satisfying Labour Demand Through Migration, a paper, Regular Immigrants in the Maltese Labour Market, Current Situation and Problems, that was in Migration and Asylum in Malta and the European Union, Rights and Realities 2002-2011, edited by Peter Schwierup, Promoting the Integration of Third Country Nationals Through the Labour Market, Combating Discrimination in Employment, the Case of Third Country Nationals, that was in Malta, International Organisation for Migration 2013. Welcome, Mr. Subban. I've gone into a little detail about your publications because I think it's important in the context in which we're going to speak today to know, obviously, what kind of research you've been doing these last years on this very topical subject of third country nationals in Malta and the general way in which the economy is going to develop and how migration is going to fit in with that development of the economy. Perhaps we ought to start off with just a brief description, perhaps, of the structure of the employment market in Malta at the present time. Would that be a good place to start?
Yes, definitely. So currently, the economic situation as far as employment is fairly good in Malta, especially when we compare it to other European countries. Our unemployment stands at around 6,500 people who are unemployed, which is, as a percentage term, one of the lowest in the EU. So what we have seen, a number of countries, EU countries, have had a huge increase in unemployment due to the financial crisis, whereas in Malta that rate has been stable throughout these years and, as I said, is one of the lowest in the EU. What we've seen as well is the number of people who are working has increased, especially the female employment rate, although in total, we still have one of the lowest employment rates in the EU. So this is still a challenge for us, especially when it comes to the number of women employed. Although progress has been made, I think we still have there is still room for further improvement.
What about the strategies, though, that have actually been used by the government and agencies for increasing the employability of the local workforce, first and foremost, and also of those third country nationals who find themselves in our country for one reason or another?
The idea is that the government, first of all, he tries to find employment for all Maltese population. So the idea is that we use only migration in order to fill the gaps whenever the Maltese cannot provide those jobs. So currently the challenges are, first of all, as far as manufacturing, nowadays we are only competitive with regards to higher value-added type of activities, and obviously in order to provide jobs for these sectors, you need to have a skilled workforce. And therefore, one of the aims is to increase the level of skills of the workforce, especially those who are the early school leavers. Previously, when our manufacturing was a very low-skilled type, these early school leavers, those who couldn't continue schooling and had no qualifications, they were naturally absorbed by this industry. Nowadays, it's not anymore possible because they require a certain minimum level of skills. So we have tried to attract, and we have, I think, succeeded to attract a number of industries, such as the aircraft maintenance industry, the pharmaceutical sector, And we have tried to build specific training programs in order to cater for these industries. So, for example, the MCAST has put up a program to in order to provide these skills that are needed for the aircraft maintenance industry. They did the same for the pharmaceutical manufacturing plants. At a higher level also, we have seen a boom in the services sector, such as the financial services sector, the IT sector, and here the university has done a number of programs. So, for example, the insurance sector has increased employment, and therefore the university within the Department of Banking and Finance now has opened an insurance trend, and the number of students are in this department are increasing. For example, if I mention the IT sector, they are trying to develop the gaming sector, and they are doing specific courses for these groups. So I think this is the strategy that has been employed, and this will continue to go on. As far as increasing the female employment rate, obviously the government has provided a number of incentives for women to return to the labor force.
Family-friendly measures?
Yes, exactly, and then provision of childcare and so on. So I think this also has had relatively a success, because the number of female employed in the labor force has increased. However, there are still some challenges, and for example, currently a topic which was brought on the table, especially with the new government, is this issue of precarious employment. In other words, and this is not something which is only which exists only in Malta, this is something which has been debated in EU fora for a number of years, and this is usually what we refer to the working poor. In other words, these are people who have a normal job, but given that the wages which are paid are so low, these people end up having barely the means to live a normal life. It is very difficult to solve this issue, because on the one hand you want to remain competitive, and therefore you have especially those industries which are in the manufacturing sector and which are competing with other countries, China and so on, and mainly part of that competition is done on costs. Therefore, you cannot increase too much the costs for these industries, otherwise they might shut down here and go somewhere else. So it's very difficult to tackle that. And maybe one of the solutions is sometimes to increase the level of skills. So education, increasing your level of skills, is one way, one strategy, how can you improve your own situation.
I know that ETC has done some sterling work with these kind of courses, but of course it's not just a matter of doling out the courses. I mean, the reasons for people not being able to finish their, or feeling that they don't want to finish their schooling, are multiple. They're not just something that can be solved by giving somebody a course, really. And it obviously it has to be put in a wider social context. So where do the what you refer to as TCNs fit in this picture of the economy? TCNs, of course, being third country nationals. Perhaps we can define a little bit who is a third country national and the differences between the various groups.
Yes, so I could see, we could basically say that there are three main groups of migrants. First of all, there are the EU nationals, which comprise as well citizens of EEA, European Economic Association, and Switzerland. So EEA mainly would be, apart the EU27, we would have Liechtenstein, Norway, and Iceland. So this category of workers, they have freedom of movement in Malta. In other words, they can come freely, and they will automatically obtain a work permit. Nowadays, they don't even get a work permit. They can automatically enter the labor market. There is a small exception with regards to Romanian and Bulgarians till the end of 2013. They are still subject to a labor market test. But from 1st January 2014, they will freely be able to enter our labor market. So for this category of workers, there are absolutely no restrictions. And in fact, during these last few years, 3/4 of our migrants have come mainly from these countries. I think one perception is that that most people don't know is that most migrants, especially those who are coming here to work, are coming from EU countries. The second category would be the what we call the asylum seekers. So these comprise the asylum seekers, those who obtain temporary humanitarian protection or even refugee status. So these workers, once they obtain one of these statuses, they are also able to work here, but they are able to work until their status is valid. So it's not an indefinite possibility to work here. And these are mostly the migrants that what we refer to usually in the press as the irregular migrants, those which basically come with these boats. And then the third category and final category is what we call third country nationals. So these are kind of all the rest kind of category. So these are the migrants which come from all other countries. So it can be Canadian citizens, Japanese, Chinese, Brazilian, and so on. So these basically have no right to enter into our country, in the sense that they must be given a work permit in order to be able to work here. And their request, whenever there is a request for such people to come and work here, there is what we call the ETC does what we call labor market test, which consists of basically trying to identify if Maltese and nowadays even if EU nationals can do that job. If they don't find any Maltese or EU national who can do that job, or even asylum seeker who is already here, then they will grant the work permit. But otherwise, these people will not be able to enter our labor market. So usually these only come here to do very specific jobs, which are usually highly skilled jobs. Because obviously for lower skilled jobs, we would be able to identify a Maltese or EU national or even an asylum seeker.
Their contracts would be on a one-year basis, normally?
Yes, I mean, the work permit is renewable on a one-year basis. So after 1 year, we do again this labor market test, and if there is still the need for these workers to remain here, we will grant them the work permit.
What about when the irregular migrants do find employment? Let's presume that there are these irregular migrants finding employment in Malta. What would be the reasons for them to be able to find work, and what would be some of the challenges? I know you've done some work in looking at the employment of migrants in Malta vis-a-vis the kind of situation they find themselves in also, and the challenges that they face and perhaps also the employer faces.
So if we look at the irregular migrants, so most of what I will describe here would also to a certain extent apply to third country nationals. First of all, some of these workers are not aware of our legislation, so they wouldn't, for example, know what is the level of the minimum wage. Sometimes even Maltese themselves don't know. They don't know also, there are a number of regulations which normally employers have to follow, such as the minimum number of hours that you have to work or the maximum number, otherwise they give you overtime, and then there is a difference in the pay for overtime, sick leave, and so on and so forth. So not being aware of the legislation, you are more prone to be abused by the employer. And sometimes this is why we can tie in this to the notion of precarious work, because given that these workers maybe are not aware fully of the legislation, then they are being, so to speak, they can be exploited by the employer, and they bring conditions of work towards a lower standard. Because the employer will reason, if I can find someone, an irregular worker, who can do this job for a lower amount of pay, why should I employ a Maltese and pay him a higher wage?
because the Maltese would know what the rules were.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I think, and there is an effort to try to sensitize the irregular migrant population towards these conditions of work. This is the work which is being done by the Department of Industrial and Employment Relations, but sometimes it's difficult also to reach this population because they are not all, for example, in the open centers. There are also language issues. Not all of them might understand English. So this is a challenge. Then something else is that sometimes these workers, they will not find a regular employment in the sense that they are being employed on a very temporary basis. Sometimes we hear these stories about being provided employment for only one day, and when it is renewed kind of on a daily basis. And therefore, here again, there is the temptation for some of these workers not to pay, for example, NI. So this comes from both sides, from the employer side and from the employee side, because some of them, they get the right to work as self-employed. And therefore, if they don't register with the Social Security Department, obviously they will not pay NI. So these are the kind of issues that we also encounter. And this, again, contributes towards lowering the conditions of work and make it somehow, for some Maltese, more difficult to enter the labor market with these type of jobs. Because one, maybe the Maltese would want to find a regular employment, and therefore they don't want to be employed just for one day or for one week. I must say that this, to a certain extent, provides some flexibility to the labor market, because there are, for example, we have had now for a number of years this temping regulation which entered into force, and in some countries, some other European countries, this market, temping market, is fairly well developed. So it fulfills a need. For example, if I have I have a secretary who is maybe going on maternity leave for 3 months, let's say, there is a scope maybe for just employing someone for 3 months. So there is some flexibility when you allow this temping work. So now that this regulation exists, there is the venue to do that, although I think not so much agencies have exploited that. And sometimes these irregular migrants, they were fulfilling that function, especially given that parts of our sector are also cyclical. For example, I'm thinking about the tourism industry, which tends to have a huge demand for labor during the summer months, but then that slows down. So you can make use of these. It's like you can imagine it as a tap of water, and you open it when you need workers, and then you close it when you don't need.
With me today in the Campus FM studio for University Matters is Mr. Robert Subban to talk about the Maltese economy with regard to migration. Here I'm seeing two sides of the coin. You've got the employer who needs to be informed, obviously the employer should know about these regulations, but where there has to be a bit of enforcement on that side, and then the educational side for the employees to know what they should be doing. But unfortunately, I can imagine that the irregular immigrants would find it very difficult to actually impose themselves, even if they knew what the regulations are. It must be very difficult to actually sort of impose that on an employer. So what are the ways in which this kind of bit of discrimination can be alleviated, really?
Yes, it's true that especially foreign workers, and this we see it as well with third country nationals, they are vulnerable. They are more vulnerable than Maltese. Even if they have a problem at work, there are authorities, as I already mentioned, the Department of Industrial and Employment Relations, where you can report instances of abuses. There is also the National Commission for Promotion of Equality. However, if you are a third country national and you know that your work permit has to be renewed every year, you don't want to fight with your employer because you know that then he might not renew your work permit. So it's more difficult in practice to do. We also, even Maltese themselves, they find it already difficult. And in fact, the number of cases which are reported is fairly low. In fact, the National Commission for the Promotion of Equality did a study to try to identify why there was such a low number of cases reported. As far as the Department of Industrial and Employment Relations, they try to investigate. They will investigate all cases of abuse, but there again, sometimes it's difficult to have people reporting because it, you need time to do that. Even, for example, opening up a case at the industrial tribunal, you need the assistance of a lawyer, so there are some expenses involved. It takes time to solve these cases. I mean, I looked a bit at the figures, and usually, so this is not necessarily because you are a foreigner or Maltese, but cases can take up to 1 year to be concluded. So this is maybe, it takes far too much time. And most cases as well, more than 80% are about unfair dismissal. So cases regarding abuse of conditions or sexual harassment and so on, they are increasing, but it's still a huge minority of the cases reporting to the industrial tribunal.
What about the situation? I mean, we've looked at the situation today, in 2013. Looking down the road, really, into the future, what will happen, or can we predict, perhaps, or suggest how the employment market might develop, what the challenges might be further down the road with regard to demographics? Can we try and anticipate some of the problems that might mean that the economy was held back in any way?
If we look a bit, this is one of the biggest challenges for not only for the employment sector but for the country as a whole, which is the issue of the aging of the population. So if we look at the demographic projections, which are computed by the National Statistical Office, the Maltese population is expected to peak at around 430,000 in 2025, and then it will decline to around 350,000 by 2060. And in 2060, one third of that 350,000 roughly will be people who will be aged 65 years and over. So mainly we'll have one third of the population which will be currently, given our age of retirement, will be pensioners. Given that our system, our pension system currently is a pay-as-you-go system, in other words, those who are currently working are providing the funds for those who are pensioner, this will put a huge strain on our system because obviously the ratio of working population pensioner will go down substantially. So this will most probably, in order to make the system sustainable, we will have to keep on reforming the pension system. But one way maybe to solve that would be through migration, especially if we consider that the population will decline by such numbers. If we want even to sustain our current level of economic activity, we will need workers. So migration could be a solution towards not having such a decline in the population and therefore not having such strain on our public finances. This is currently already taking place in the EU. There are some countries which are already going through declining populations. Or for example, if we take the example of Germany, the population has already started declining. So they are already in this phase. And if we look at the whole EU27, during these last few years, they were a net importer of migrants. In other words, they were importing migrants in order to sustain the overall level of economic activity. Obviously, now there are some countries like Spain or Greece, and even Ireland, which, because of the crisis, have had a huge increase in unemployment. And previous to the crisis, these had imported a substantial amount of labor, especially Spain, and now this labor is again leaving Spain. So they are now net immigrants countries.
Like, for example, when things started to get better in Poland, many thousands of Polish people who had gone to Britain when Poland joined the join the EU actually went back home again because they found that things were actually better at home. So migration isn't always going to be a one-way kind of thing. If
yes,
things get better at home, people tend to go home.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, there is a new trend which has emerged over these last few years, which is what we call circular migration. In other words, some people, and this is sometimes also what happens here locally. Now we have a number of graduates, given that Maltese can freely work in all other EU 27 countries. They tend to go and have an experience spell abroad in order to increase their skills or get some experience, and then after a few years maybe they want to settle down, have a family, and they come back here. But this is positive to our economy because they will have gained a certain amount of experience which we then can then import locally.
I think we've spoken about the fact that there are quite a few third country nationals who are not from the African continent coming into Malta, probably a much greater percentage than there are Africans. But I think it would probably be honest to say that this, perhaps with the employers in Malta, is a bit of a problem. Here, there's also the discrimination issue as well, is something that cannot be ignored.
Yes, in fact, if you look a bit at the employment of foreigners, we have somehow they are at the both extremes of the skill spectrum. So we have either very highly skilled workers which are coming here, and sometimes these you don't really find them or you don't really perceive them because they are working, for example, in the iGaming sector, in the financial services sector, and these tend maybe to be coming more from European countries or more developed economies. So they will somehow blend in with the local population. And then we have the other end of the spectrum, which is very low-skilled type of jobs. And these are primarily fulfilled those gaps by these irregular migrants. And these are somehow also maybe the jobs that maybe Maltese don't want to do anymore. Maybe they don't want to do them anymore because they are maybe more physical type of jobs and therefore they will try to find something which is easier to do. And also sometimes because, as I was explaining before, the conditions of work in these sectors have become much less attractive, and therefore the Maltese would tend to try to go for something else. So sometimes it's a bit of, you don't know whether it's a bit like the chicken and the egg problem.
Exactly.
So you don't know whether the conditions of work are making these jobs unattractive and so on.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Robert Subban, for coming to talk to us on University Matters about the Maltese economy with regard to migration, a very topical issue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.